The Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast is presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app.
The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Coming up, we got a steamer red hot off of last week. We got another one. Also, the Bear with his daily fantasy, Masters picks, everybody, everything you need to know before he heads down to Augusta. Also, I got some hypothetical lines, crossover matchups. If two teams that were in Power 5 conferences, say maybe Florida and Oregon, if they were going to play on a neutral site, what would the line be? Our friend Chris Andrews over at South Point helped us with that. But first, also want to remind you to check out the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. They have everything you need to know to get your team ready each week. Download and subscribe to Fantasy Focus Football and Stanford Steve and the Bear wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, after hearing that, Steve, I feel kind of obligated to give out my DraftKings lineup that I entered in my little DraftKings Fantasy League, the year-long league that I've gone with my buddies and using the salary cap. I went John Rahm, Tony Finau, Hideki Matsuyama, Scotty Scheffler, Matt Kuchar, and Ian Poulter. And that hits the salary cap right on the nose. So
Because people won't have their pen and paper ready, and then you get yelled at on Twitter because, you know, you didn't say something. So
John Rahm, Tony Finau, Hideki Matsuyama, Scotty Scheffler, Matt Kuchar, and Ian Poulter. And that puts you right on the number, zero remaining salary, and we'll see what happens. I had to make a decision there at the top with either Bryson or Rahm, and I decided to go with Rahm. It was a little bit cheaper just because you got to boost yourself at the bottom there and with your lower salary players. You got to squeeze Poulter in and as opposed to some $6,000 guys. So there we go. Let's see what happens with that lineup, and we'll talk some Masters picks, bets and head-to-heads and top 10s and 20s later in the show.
Game day, going to Augusta. You ready?
I'm ready. I've worked every Masters. I've been to every one since 2012. So it's going to feel weird to be sitting there Thursday in the hotel after I get my test done, just kind of watching it and not really working it and getting ready for game day, but crossing over with some Masters stuff. I'm sure I'm going to be dialed in and tweeting some stuff out anyway because I'm a sicko and I'm not going to have much to do in the room. But yeah, it's going to be key. It's going to be kind of cool to set up there on the par 3 course and have some golf stuff in the show. Like we've had a bunch of ideas that have been kicked around. I don't want to give them all away because in case something happens and it doesn't happen, but it's not going to be college game day previewing the Masters. It's going to be college game day at the Masters. We're going to talk college football. We're going to talk about the games. We're going to preview the day. Where applicable, we'll have a little intersection of golf and college football. But it should be a very fun show. And then after the show, Kirk, Maria, and myself will head up to Ann Arbor for the Michigan-Wisconsin game at ABC Prime.
That's right. What a great primetime game we have this week, huh?
Yeah.
Did we take that one over Penn State and Nebraska?
No. Yes, believe it or not, we did. imagine that. But this is a Big Ten prime week, and we may as well just start there. There are a ton of stories in this game. What was that last week for Michigan? I mean, wow. You talk about a defense that just looked terrible. An offensive line, I know they had some injuries and some issues, but their offensive line didn't look good. That was not what I expected at all from Michigan last week. And now as a result, I need to go shopping and prepare some vows for my good friends in Bloomington because I have to make a long-term commitment here to the Hoosiers. But in looking towards this week, though, I know Wisconsin's playing, but do we still know, like, who's playing, who's out, any other names that maybe have come out or not? I still think there's a lot of uncertainty and question marks. Like, how long have they practiced? Who's practiced? Who hasn't? Like, this, I know this line is steamed up to Wisconsin now, I think, like four and a half point favorite. This game kind of reminds you a little bit of the Michigan-Notre Dame game last year, late in the year, where everybody was ready to just absolutely dump and quit on Michigan. They're done. Harbaugh can't win a big game. He's fired. And they went out and absolutely crushed Notre Dame. I'm not saying that's going to happen again, because we know Harbaugh hasn't won a game at Michigan as an underdog. This is the first time they're a home dog to someone other than Ohio State under Harbaugh. But I don't know. With so much uncertainty on the Wisconsin side, maybe I'm just being a little paranoid. And maybe Mertz is fine and the backs are fine and their lines. Maybe everything's good to go and they're going to come out and prove that they're just a better team. But I'd be a little hesitant right now until I get more information about really stepping forward in this game and be willing to lay the points with Wisconsin.
Okay. A lot to get to. I saw Hutchinson's out for the year for Michigan.
Which is a big loss. They can't rush the passer to begin with.
I was at this game last year on the sidelines, and I think I left a little after half. I mean, I went back. I can't believe the score was only 35-14. That was the final. It was 28-0 in a blink.
Yep.
And they dominate them every single facet. Obviously, Mertz. We do have only – what are they – the data point? We only have one on Wisconsin, right? That Friday night against Illinois. Yep. And in that game, they didn't run the ball well. And that was very uncharacteristic of Wisconsin. Now, that's a first game jitters with how much zone scheme they run in their offensive line and not being on the same page. We have seen what the Illini has become since that game, you know, because people were, bowl game last year, you weren't sure. Now, you know, they go and get rolled. You know, the last 2 weeks, I mean, they lost their quarterback the morning of the Purdue game.
And a similar thing to what we thought Michigan after the Minnesota game. What a great win. And then we've seen what Minnesota has become. So a lot of overreaction from week one.
So I had when it first came out, I think Michigan was favored, and then more news comes out. But now it seems to be a lot more stuff floating up around. So, that's good intel. From a man that is prepping to fly to Ann Arbor for that game. What else sticks out to you this week? Is that the right question?
It's lines that stink, volume 11. Like you have, three-loss Virginia Tech coming off of an embarrassing loss at Liberty, favorite over a Miami team that really – really was a big loser last week with congratulations, by the way. I just want to, congratulations on your Irish and the outright money line pick, getting the people, the outright dog winner. Congratulations on that. A little weird end of game situation there. I think whether it was the refs, whether it was Clemson, I had like a half an eye on it in the truck as our game was wrapping up right around the same time. Congrats
to you for not falling asleep during the Stanford Oregon game.
But that was interesting. Well, the good thing is I got the nap on the flight out.
Oh, okay, good.
And then I shut it down once I got back to the hotel there, and we were good. But congratulations on the win with the Irish, and now it looks like we're up steamrolling towards a rematch in the ACC championship game, and that gets me to what like Miami. They were a big loser last week. I think everybody was assuming Clemson was going to win, and then you probably would have had this debate of about a one-loss Clemson or a one-loss Notre Dame versus a potential one-loss Miami coming down to a tiebreak where it's a CFP power ranking tiebreaker. But that doesn't look like where we're headed anymore, and I'm curious to see. Miami's defense did not look good last week. They finally got the big turnover late. Thank God for De'Ara King, by the way. How great was he in that game? But now again, you have this top 10 one-loss team on the road is an underdog to a team that just lost to Liberty. So tread lightly. I remember if you think back to last year, because I like looking these things up just from a. A note standpoint, twice last year, we had three teams with at least three losses that were favored over teams with zero or one loss. Mm-hmm. You had Iowa, who was favored against Minnesota, won the game. Mm-hmm. You had Miami, who was favored over Virginia, won the game. Again, small sample size, but I just like to look these things up. It happened twice last year, and the raise your eyebrow favorite did win and cover both games.
Okay, and that's why those lines stink. So listen to the man. I was trying to look it up. I always find Miami going to Blacksburg fascinating because they have had a couple wins, and then I always feel like it gets overshadowed by that. What was that one year they went up for a big time matchup and they got killed? What was that?
Well, 99.
Is that over 20 years ago?
You say then? Well, 99 was the year, the great year for the Hokies, and Miami went up there. And I think it was either Dorsey came into the game, or because Kenny Kelly got injured, or Dorsey. I forget exactly what it was.
Yes, but that's
yeah. It was an absolute. I mean, that was a great Virginia Tech team, and that was a Miami team which was still getting up to numbers. Off of
was that like 49-0 or something?
No, I think it was. I think Miami might have scored early.
Maybe they went up. I gotta look this up.
The Syracuse game, I believe, that year was the 49-0 game.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna get that Miami Virginia Tech 99 score right now just because I'm curious. Because
I was watching. You know what popped up on?
It was 43-10, and the Syracuse game was 62-0.
Wow. And then on Classic the other day, I didn't get a chance to see how it ended, was the 97 game, Canes at Hokies, and there was
James Jackson in the snow.
There was some talent on that field, let's put it that way. Oxidine running a little option in the backfield. Edge's last year?
No, Edge's last year was 98.
Okay, so that was his second last year. Yeah, Sparks.
Was that Druckenmiller?
No, it wasn't. No. Quarterback number 5. I forgot. I should have looked it up before I brought it up. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked. But, yeah, that's. I mean, we've had people. It's pretty funny. On Sunday, I know they're hitting you up too. But, like, on Sunday, I'll just be watching NFL and not paying attention. And people are already hitting me up. Like, this line stinks for next week. This line stinks. So I'm glad to see we started something. Exactly. That was the number one game that was brought up. Like, why the heck is Miami getting points? Virginia Tech just lost to Liberty. How about the end of that Liberty game? Woo!
Unbelievable. That was a perfect way to – why are you calling timeout to ice a kicker on a 59-yard field goal?
Here's my question. You're one of the analytics guys. I want the analytics done on field goals with a timeout and field goals without. Let's go. Run the numbers. You and Brad, build a database, and let's go. Because it's so dumb. A 59-yarder in college?
Yep.
Come on. I have
you almost deserve to lose for doing that.
If you can look this up, actually. In 98. 98? Yeah. 98, North Carolina with Mac came out. Or wait, no, he left. Did he leave?
98 was his first
game. Yeah, Torbush was the coach. Torbush was the head coach.
No, 98 was Mac's first year at Texas because Ricky Williams, 97 was a great year, and then 98 was his first year at Texas.
Okay. So, yeah, Torbush, I believe, is the head coach. We had a kick to win the game at the buzzer with 1 second left. And this is before they made the rule. He called 3 straight timeouts to ice our kicker. And then our kicker, no one told us because the extra point team just like stayed in the huddle or stayed on the field. Mm-hmm. And then he went over to get a couple kicks in between Kevin Miller. And I believe the story is he went over to get one more practice kick in before the game, before the real kick. He missed the net and the ball went into the stands. And he came out and he made the kick to win the game, though. But I'll never forget Dre Bly on that Carolina. Well, great win. Great win. Jeff Allen had a big, big day going against Dre Bly. We still talk about that one today. But anyway, enough about timeouts and kickers and that stuff. What else reeks?
Notre Dame? Under 2 touchdowns on the road against BC, but this one might have like a reverse stink factor too, because BC I think is going to be a real trendy dog. I think people are going to try. Oh well, look what happened last time they beat Notre Dame beat number one. It was
27 years ago.
The following week they lost to Boston College, and I don't know. It does seem like a lot. again, you're giving away a key number of 14, and we've seen BC be a very live, frisky dog this year in a lot of instances. And they've got players on offense, and you've got the Dracovic angle. Curious to see how the Irish bounce back emotionally from that big win, because you saw the scene after the game, and now you have to play, I guess I would consider it a rival, given the history between these two Catholic schools and some of the games that they've been involved in. But first glance, it does seem like a lot of points, especially with the BC team that is able to score some points.
Yeah, I keep looking at the over-under, Bear. It's 49.5. Last year, Notre Dame gave it to him. And I think with Dracovic, it's a weird dynamic there. They've gone back to running the ball a lot since starting the season, just chucking it all over the place. So their numbers are starting to, not go back to Adazio's run game, but it's really interesting to see what happens. Halfley, they didn't slow down Clemson, and listen, going back to last week, I loved what Notre Dame defensively did, and they gave up 40 points. Like, I thought they tackled, they put pressure on the quarterback, they put him in bad situations, and Clemson just has that many guys to overcome things like that. But like, I thought they made Uiagalelei, stay in the pocket and do some things that he showed he definitely can do, and I can't believe he's not going to probably play another snap the rest of the season. But yeah, that over under, I'm really interested in Notre Dame's offense. That's where it comes out, where things like this and people always, starting to doubt them. That's where, a good defensive coordinator can maybe, seek out some things and point out, attack some weaknesses on Notre Dame's offense. But I'll tell you what, I don't think there are much. Because in what they don't get with separation with the receivers, they just have the big bodies that can catch the ball. And Book's a guy that's just going to give them a chance to make a play on the edge. And the run game is as solid as anybody. I do have to call them the best offensive line in the country now that they did win after I said that last week, even though I still think Alabama's better. But I will call Notre Dame number one offensive line. That game's not like at Fenway or anything, right? Is that Chestnut Hill?
No, that's under the Musco lights at Alumni Stadium in Chestnut Hill. They're bringing up the field hockey lines as we speak.
It's got to be up there as the worst setups, right?
I'm just whining. Someone who works on college game day will be listening. We'll be listening to this, and he's going to be shaking his head so mad right now.
It's the worst setup for me. Come on. Like, the first thing you do when you go there, they're like, all right, can't park in lot. That I'm like, oh, park right there, right next to the stadium, right? Open lot right there. No way. You got to be given over $25,000 a year to park there. What? You guys can't get 12 people inside your stadium.
Correct.
Then if you're really, you got to take a shuttle or something. I went up there for a game. When they played Michigan my senior year of high school, I went out there. I said, pass. No, thank you. Pass. That's when they had one of the Hasselbacks came in that night and started whipping it around. Everybody's like, play Hasselback. Kids better. But those were the days, 95. What else here? We got Florida Rosedale on the line.
We do.
Both teams are red hot. I'm trying to – Minnesota – won last year after, I think it was 5 in a row, Iowa won.
Sounds about right, if not more.
Gophers are averaging like 440 yards a game, but what are they giving up?
Yeah, I was going to say,
wow.
Bateman and Morgan and Ibrahim are certainly not the problem. It's the other side of the ball. Can Iowa exploit that? I mean, they finally got right last week. It was a big win for them against Michigan State. So let's lay 3.5 on the road. Kind of like the Hawkeyes there.
Gotta
play that game.
You know what it reminds me of is what with LSU with Minnesota. Do we really believe they got everything fixed after a win in Champaign? Like, right. just like everybody at LSU, you know, when, oh, they got everything back, we're good. We beat South Kakalaka at home, we're good. And then you go out and get steamrolled. Yeah, that's – I'd like to see more from both these teams because I know it's Michigan State in a tough spot for Sparty, but what I saw last week from Iowa is what I expected this year. Like, the threshold of power of teams in that division is not that big. And for them to go, you know, start 0-2 was really tough. That gets me to the other team that they played earlier this year, and that's Northwestern. I know people could say what they want about the competition, but look what Maryland's done since they got whipped by Northwestern. Yeah. Nebraska, good thing they got rid of their offensive coordinator because they're really lighting up.
Oh, they're humming. They are humming on offense.
I mean, right, what is going on in Lincoln? Jeez, just play McCaffrey. Call it a day, no? But Northwestern,
still holding on to my 8,000-1 Adrian Martinez to win the Heisman ticket.
That's not worse than my worst all-time Heisman bet.
And I don't really have one, by the way.
I bet Jake Coker to win the Heisman. No, not the year they won the national title.
The year before,
when he didn't even win the job against Sims. That's my Heisman analysis for you. Bet a guy that doesn't even win a starting job.
It's funny.
50-1. I'll never forget it.
I made two Heisman bets before the year. I played Trevor Lawrence. I think it was like 2-1, 5-2. And Jalen Waddle at 65-1. I had a good week a couple of weeks ago, didn't I? Thank you very much.
I think Trask is worth a shot right now. I saw some updated odds.
Sure.
Because if you're a believer, then and they win, like the Heisman's given out before the playoff, so you don't need the playoff. But I mean, you've rolled this and beat Bama in a shootout, like he's going to get all. We know how much people like Florida quarterbacks, right? Come on. It's a darling job of the world. All right. Anyway,
if they beat Alabama in the SEC championship game.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if you believe in them, go bet them now. But back to the darlings that wear purple in Evanston. I think the defense is real. I really do. I've talked about plenty of times how I believe in Peyton Ramsey. I think he's like Ian Book. You know, he's gutty. He's going to make plays. He's going to make mistakes. But I think he's consistent enough to win in this situation with Northwestern. If they're going to play defense like this, they haven't given up a point in the second half the entire year. I had another stat here. For the three touchdowns, they have given up. Two of the possessions started inside the Northwestern 10-yard line, and the other started inside Northwestern's territory. They're seventh in the country in scoring defense. So that's a big one against Purdue. Or what do you think? Have you heard anything about Rondale Moore?
I was just going to say, it's just like, yeah, I'm opting back in, but I haven't heard anything.
I like Northwestern there.
But what they have with Bell and some of the other weapons, they might not need him.
Let me see. Bell, 22 catches, 243, and 4 touchdowns this year. What's wrong with that?
Before we were in the situation that we did, I mean, Purdue was one of my better season win totals and a team I expected a lot from this year. And they somehow won that game against Iowa. They won again. I would take the if I had to play this game, I'd take the Boilermakers
taking the field goal. Okay.
Field goal home.
Wildcats have won 5 straight against the Boilers until Purdue won last year. I believe that was the last second kick too.
You want to just stick in the Big Ten. We kind of hit on Nebraska.
I will say the winner of that game is in a huge advantage for that division. Huge.
Well, yes, because you don't know what's going to happen with Wisconsin having to play a minimum number of games. And,
yes.
And certainly rooting for Michigan this week to pin a loss on the Badgers.
Mm. Well, stick with it. What else you got?
No, I was going to say that Penn State Nebraska game is just.
I'm ready.
You got 0-5 combined. Penn State's offense just looks bad. I mean, was it the loss to Indiana, or is there something else going on there? And you got a Nebraska team that's incapable of scoring as well. And if you go back since the 2017 win at Purdue, Nebraska's lost 15 straight games as an underdog. 2017 is the last time they pulled an upset. And wow. they haven't won a home game as an underdog since that weird 2015 game against Michigan State with that bizarre one. Nine straight losses as a home dog by an average of 23 points a game.
That was already 5 years ago. Jeez, yep.
I remember watching that one too. That was another one.
You had Nebraska.
Yes, absolutely.
I wanted to see that. What time is that game? That's noon kickoff on the one for fun.
Yep.
Nice. I didn't think they were getting that one. Is that 3 or 3.5? 3.5? I see the hook.
I see majority 3.5.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to stay. Is Rutgers playing? That game's still on, right? Because I like Rutgers this week.
Rutgers is playing. They're favored.
Do they have a period of practice where they just do laterals? Because they're freaking good at it. What's going on in Piscataway?
Game preparation. Got to be prepared for that. You never know what you're going to run into.
Unbelievable how good they've been. I had some. Want some hypothetical lines? Oh, I know what we got to do. Let's give the people the steamer.
And then in a big time steamer condo pick that you can bet your condo on.
It was good luck last week, and you gave it, so you got to give it again.
And it was a confident sounding. You know, you kind of like pump chest out. Got a rocking chair winner on a Friday night. Laugher, never out. We didn't even have to ask, remind, anything. We just wake up this morning to a 3-letter text. APP. Appalachian State minus the 16 against Georgia State is the steamer. Yeah, I think our guy's feeling pretty good.
I'm just going to call him direct deposit. Like I'm all here on the West Coast. I wake up and it's like I got a direct deposit with some cash. Just APP. That's all you need, boys.
That's all it wants.
The people know the super condo steamer APP. And for those that really still don't know, Appalachian State. Okay.
And I will say this: I got a little worried about that number on the podcast. Like going flipping over, but once it blew through 4, and it was like 4.5, I was like, "Oh boy, this isn't just like this is like legit. This is a good move." And
went off at 5.5.
Yeah, I think it went off at like 5.5.
Yeah.
And once Sears went down the first drive of the game, you knew what direction this was going in. So good for BYU.
Good for the steamer because obviously he has some scouts listening and hearing what we're saying about him. And, you know, we also wake up to hazing texts from him saying, "Oh, you guys doubted me. You guys doubted me." So well, we know you're listening, coach. Don't worry about it. We know it. All right. Hypothetical lines. We talk about it every week for the last 5 weeks. This game, I got it just for you and me. What do you think the game is?
Just for you and me, I'm going to say...
We just mentioned one of the teams.
I'm going to say Notre Dame versus Ohio State.
No. Cincinnati, BYU.
Okay.
Neutral site. Cincinnati minus one, according to our guy, Chrissy Andrews, at South Point.
So basically a pick 'em. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it.
All right. I did a couple cross... Power five. I asked for in Dallas, Texas, Florida versus Oregon. What do you think it is?
Florida minus 6.
Boom. On the nose.
Oh.
Holy cow. We got it. You're incredible at this.
I love it.
All right. Here we go. Another one. Your Windiana playing out in Pasadena, let's say, neutral site. Indiana versus Texas A&M.
I will say Texas A&M minus 7.5.
Texas A&M minus 5.
Okay.
I've been talking to you. I think we're due for a guest next week. So I have my thoughts on, we'll get a little SEC inside info from a guy next week. All right. And now I did some look aheads to game of the year, in my opinion, in these conferences. All right. First one, December 5th, Bowling Green at Akron. I cannot wait for this game. I cannot wait for it. My Zips showed improvement last night. BG did not. I'm just glad they got the head coach. Is that Leffler? BG's head coach?
Oh, yes.
I'm glad they got him a rain jacket in the second half. The poor guy is going to have pneumonia. Did you see that rain in the second half? And he's out there like a cotton sweatshirt. This was after last night's games. So that'll give you a little.
It's got to be. I mean, it's probably going to be higher than what Akron's got to be favored.
That's what I was saying. He has Bowling Green Akron, minus. Go ahead.
Oh well, he after the game he has Bowling Green favored.
No. I'm saying he gave me these lines before the game last night. Before the games last night, he gave me these.
Okay, I mean it's got to be like Akron 4.
I'm gonna give him a benefit of the doubt here because I'm gonna send him another note today and I'll have it for next week because he has Bowling Green minus 4, which can't be the case after last night because Akron definitely showed some improvement. Love my Zips. All right, other big look ahead games in conference: Coastal, Liberty. That game's at Coastal, I believe.
It is at Coastal. Oh, so we're still doing. Good game, by the way.
I know. Pumped for it.
I'd love for them both to be undefeated and take game day there. That would be great. I don't know what else is out there. I don't know if it's a possibility, but it would be great to get game day to Myrtle Beach.
Liberty at Coastal.
Liberty at Coastal.
On the teal.
See, Liberty has the better win. Liberty has the two better wins, I think. I mean, Virginia Tech and Kansas, I think, are both better wins than Syracuse. I'm going to say Liberty 1.
Coastal minus 5.
Really?
Yeah.
See, this is good that I'm way off because I think when people probably, oh, yeah, sure, he gets the first one right out of the head. He knows them all ahead of time. Really? Coastal 5, okay.
How about So before that, Liberty's got Western Carolina this week. They should win by a million. Then they have at NC State, then UMass, then Coastal. So they got some. Gotcha. They got a chance to get a couple more notches. I mean, they get that win at NC State. Look out! That's a formidable resume. It's 3 ACC wins. Syracuse isn't going to have 3 ACC wins.
No.
There's still a bunch of teams that aren't gonna. All right, and then one last hypothetical because I still have not given up on this game, and I know people are already putting Notre Dame into the ACC title game, but Notre Dame still has a trip to Chapel Hill. What do you think that line is? Notre Dame at Chapel Hill right now.
Notre Dame 4.5.
Notre Dame minus 7.
So, okay.
That's interesting to me. Like I said, I don't see – if I'm Mac Brown, I'm just throwing the ball every single play. I'm not trying to run because that's, I think, the only way you could win. All right, back to the slate. How about our Terps? How about that win?
How about that? That's a very good win for them.
They gave it to them.
Offense, that was not a fluke. That was
no.
They went up and down the field on them and blew them out.
Who's left that's playing this week in the SEC?
You got 3 big games.
3.
You got Florida, Arkansas, Vandy, Kentucky, and Ole Miss, South Carolina. Interesting games, though, by the way. I mean, Arkansas has been super live underdog all year. They're 12th in the country in terms of expected points from their defense. Felipe Franks going back there should be 4-2.
Getting 17 and a half.
It's a big number with the team.
Florida's in a perfect letdown spot after that win.
It does seem like it's Arkansas our pass for me in that game in terms of ATS. And then
I don't think Pitts is going to play either after that hit.
I wouldn't think so either.
Man.
And then South Carolina, seriously, you had a week or an extra week to get ready for A&M, and that's what you came up with. That was just a despicable, hideous performance. I mean, they're terrible. And your defense has given up over 500 yards a game in the last 3 weeks. You beat Auburn because Auburn couldn't stop turning the ball over, and you beat Vandy because Vandy's terrible. But that's where you are. And now you're going to Oxford and facing a really good offense. I don't know, man. That one, of course, it'll be a perfect spot where South Carolina will bow up and they'll bounce back after playing so bad last week. But wow, not much on paper makes you think that South Carolina is going to have much success this week in Oxford.
I watched, don't get mad at me, but I watched some of Vanderbilt Mississippi State last week just because I wanted to.
Yeah.
Do you know Vanderbilt outgained Mississippi State?
Mm-hmm.
Outgained.
They turned the ball over like 5 times, right? Were there like plus, wasn't Vandy like -5 in turnovers?
Yeah. Kind of like UCLA. Oof.
Ugly. Speaking of ugly, I'm still sitting here racking my brain trying to figure out a way to get two-loss Georgia into the
Stop it. We're not saying their name anymore. We're not saying their name. They are done on this podcast. I am so tired of that team. Oh my Lord.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about Georgia fatigue anymore for the remainder of the year.
Done.
Yeah, we solved the fatigue by putting them to bed.
Oh.
There are a lot of issues there, but that we need to get into right now. Nothing that is going to affect any, because they're not playing this week. So if they're playing at some point, maybe we can talk about it from a betting standpoint.
If we're gonna, all right, I'm done. Good. Yeah, let's talk about teams that are having good years. Let's talk Marshall.
They're having a good year.
Awesome year. Yep. I got a note.
Anniversary weekend.
Yes.
Of the plane crash.
And they never lost on that weekend that they've done. Obviously, everyone knows the story of that with that program and what it's meant to that program. But I'll tell you, man, like they're 6-0, but they don't have much left. Like they're playing Middle, who is god awful. I would actually think about laying the 24 there. I think we might do that. They got Charlotte, they got Rice, and they got FA. Wow, they got some games against some of the worst teams in America left. Let's see their resume. They got the win over App State, which is big. Western Kentucky, La Tech, FAU. I think that was their first game. Rolled it up on our Minutemen last week. They're not going to get the ECU game back. It's tough because they're going to go undefeated, but they not a good year for the old CUSA. There's not much to write home about. Are they going to play? Now, they're still doing divisions. They would match up with, who is it, UAB right now?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good conference title game.
Yeah, it would be.
But shout out to Marshall. I wish your resume was better because I watched that. I remember that 17-7 they beat App State, which was everybody thought it was going to be crazy. High scoring, and they shut the App State offense down. But we might have to look into that because I've watched Middle, and they're not good this year. So that might be
they sure as hell enjoyed giving me hell after they went to Rice and won.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, they won.
Murfreesboro.
They won the game. Good for them. Congratulations.
Only two games so far, three games to see so far. I don't think Ohio State is as nearly as good as they were last year. Agree or disagree?
I would agree, and Kirk even mentioned that on the show last night, saying, like, if you're comparing Ohio State to what they've been the past couple of years, there certainly are things or reasons for concern, whether it's on the defensive line or but they're still by far the best team in the Big Ten.
No doubt. No doubt. And Fields is way better too.
Yeah. Is Clemson as good as they were last year? No. Alabama's probably as good, if not better, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know about that defense, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. So to say like they're not as good, but if the other teams aren't as good either and they're all maintaining the same kind of what's where I'm looking for. I don't know.
What I was getting at here and about Fields, like when he throws an incompletion, I'm shocked. Like that's how accurate he has been. I was just looking ahead to your thought about Dabo really wanting last week so he could get to that one seed. With this resume here, with Ohio State, and their best win is going to be probably against Indiana, you can't make them the number one team in the country. No way.
That's a good question.
There's no, I mean, and that game's next week.
It's next week, yeah, next week in Columbus. I mean, they're going to be a massive favorite in the game.
I know, so, that's what I'm saying. So,
that's what we were talking about.
Impressive.
Like, the gap between Ohio State and the rest of the Big Ten is, like, as big, if not bigger, between Clemson and the rest of the SEC. And
I think it's bigger now.
I was going to say, it certainly proved itself last week with Notre Dame winning that game.
And then with the Indiana game, like it's, I really want to see Penix against that Ohio State secondary because that's where I think Ohio State's still a little green. And then on the other side, you know, are we really going to get, you know, a true feel for how good Ohio State is against, you know, an Indiana defense that, let's see, what did they do? What did Michigan end up? I turned that game off.
He threw the ball for a good number of yards, but again, it was all
Indiana's given up 35 to Penn State, 21 to Rutgers, and 21 to Michigan. So, I should have asked for that line for next week because that's a good look ahead.
It'll be at least 17, probably 20s.
Wow. And that'll be one. Indiana goes up 7-0 too. Everybody's like, oh my God, look at it.
Yep, exactly. And 44-14.
Penix is struggling. So you would lean Notre Dame against BC in this game?
No.
Right?
No, I would lean towards taking BC if I had to play it.
Okay.
Remember like last week we were really like struggling, like five, like I said that like, this is the a week I didn't like at all. And certainly my record indicated that. Like this is another week, right?
It's bad.
This is a hard week.
And that's what I don't get. Like, you know, you touched on it with Michigan, Wisconsin. That line has flipped all the way around, and we don't even know who's playing. So, like, I don't know. Maybe people know more than I do. It just goes back to what we talked about this at the beginning of the year. Like, it's so hard to figure out what the week is going to plan out to be. And, you know, here we are with Wisconsin's starting quarterback, not even knowing who might be the second best quarterback in the league.
And you look at Florida State now, obviously Terry's no longer with the team and there's stuff going on there. I mean, that number is steamed up to NC State -9.5 against the North. But by the way, with so much going on last week, like I didn't even see that. And Sunday, I'm just kind of going through, thumbing through scores and Pitt 41, Florida State 17. That one, I was like, whoa, when did that happen? I had no idea. Like, I looked at that and I'm like, okay, I guess they played.
You were there in Eugene. Why is Stanford giving points?
Because they played. I think they're okay. I mean, they were in that – their defense played well for a while. They just couldn't finish drives. And I think you're playing a team in Colorado that the only reason they won was because UCLA handed them the game on a silver platter.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you could say that. What else when you were able to catch any? Were you able to see any of Herm and SC? Were you able to see –
Literally late night.
Literally the
end of the SC game is what I saw. Literally the final. I guess that's really all you needed was the ridiculous doink catch, then the onside kick, and then the touchdown pass to London.
What's CBS doing for a game now?
I don't think they have one.
Wow. Week off for Brad and Gary.
I mean, obviously the Masters is on. I saw they're not moving anything in there. So yeah, we how about that? Week off for Brad and Gary. Week off for Tony Romo too in the NFL because Jim will be down at Augusta.
Oh,
about that.
I'm sure Tony will be there. Tony's not calling it with that contract. He's not on 16. Put him on a hole.
He's got a game. We don't want to put him on 16. We can't do that. 16 is the hallowed ground for one man.
Put him on 9. Put him on 9 for his number 9. I know a game.
Good idea.
A game we need to touch on quickly because it might be the best game of the week.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
I am kind of surprised Tulsa's favored here. That's a lot of respect. Look at that. SMU conference game. SMU's 7-1. Tulsa's 3-1. That just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, exactly. Tulsa's been one of those COVID riddle teams, and this is a bad memory game for me having Tulsa last year on the money line against SMU. Ooh. And kind of blew that one. And like last time we saw Tulsa, they were the beneficiaries of a gift against the Pirates.
Yeah,
but no, their defense is good. Their defense is legit, and
it is.
I think they're going to give SMU some trouble, even though SMU's offense seemed to play well, even without some of those guys. This is a stay away game. This is obviously, I would think, an elimination game to see who's going to go play Cincinnati for the AAC title. But good watch. No feel for whatsoever.
Yeah. The other speaking of Cincinnati, they're against our Pirates Friday night. That was a classic game last year. Yep. 43-40, 44-41, something like that. And just an unbelievable game that featured a lot of 9 routes. So I am going to think that some of that is going to be the same. We know what happened to ECU at Tulsa. Came back last week with a subpar effort. Cincinnati, we know what that takes. But I think Cincinnati scores a lot more than they have. I know he's not what everybody wants at quarterback, but he has been better. He has been getting the job done. I like over the total Friday night at historic Nippert Stadium for the Bearcats.
ECU's defense has improved, but still, that's not a.
And Cincinnati's got to score, man. They got to get some. They got to get some style points. So I think they're going to try and get some things going. They're a fun team to watch, man. I like them a lot.
What do you think about the boys from Berserkly going down to see? I mean, boy,
are they going to play?
I hope so.
Oh man,
ASU's had a couple of those games under her where they had seemingly had a 99% win probability and somehow managed to lose, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week. I thought this is very very possible that Arizona State loses their first two and wins out with the youth that they have. Jaden was better than I thought last week, better than I expected, I should say, and then just couldn't get it done late. I think Cal's a legit team to win this conference. I really did. I thought it last week. I know they haven't played a game yet, but I think they have the goods for it. I mean, they were undefeated in games when he played last year. So you don't have to hear anything more positive about that team from me. I believe in them. I just hope for their sake they get to get on the field, man. Like, it's got to be brutal what they've been going through and not even be able to get on the field. So I would lean Bears there. Shout out to our guys in San Marcos. Texas State's about to play their 10th game. I know it hasn't been hasn't been what they wanted this year, but, I mean, come on. I mean, they're getting out there and playing 10 games. Good for them with all that's going on and getting those guys out and playing. You got anything for that'll be in the Big Mike Happy Recap for sure?
For sure, no. I think of everything that we've gone through. Right now, what I like the most is Stanford minus whatever.
It's weird. It's going like 5.5, 7. 5.5, 7. It's weird how this keeps changing.
Maybe see if it moves down. I mean, Stanford, I think I like Ole Miss as well. I think those are the two right now that I like the most. And I'm seeing if I can do a little digging on Michigan, Wisconsin. And
I like the ECU Cincy over. I think I'm going to take Marshall minus that, knowing what that represents. And I have Rutgers circled. And right now, I'm not sure they're going to – I think you might have talked me out of Northwestern. But I had Northwestern
circled. I hope not.
They were not. They shouldn't be given points on the road in this game. That's my issue. So, like,
right.
That's why it kind of smells to me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not going to lie, I've watched them more than I've watched Purdue. So that's, you know, I'm kind of shy their favor there. We don't know about Rondale Moore. We talked about Bell and how good he's been. So, I mean, there's no doubt the guys in Purdue could coach. So that's really interesting. I think that's a night game too. That's good. 7:30 BTN.
Oh, good.
There you go. The Ducks. The Ducks are circled. I watched the game in Corvallis with Wazoo. Really, really impressed with what Coach Rolo has been able to do in such a short amount of time. That Jaden Delora, holy cow, can he make some plays.
Unfortunately.
They didn't even have who might be the best player in the conference, Borgie, the running back. He didn't even play. Mm-hmm. So I really liked what I saw from them. I think Oregon State's going to win a couple games this year. They're not what your normal thoughts of the Beavers are. But the Ducks, I think, are well built from the inside out. We saw the playmakers get there. The biggest thing for me is quarterback. Can Wazoo put some pressure on that quarterback? Because, you know, he's still learning the ropes there. And
I say he's still young.
Yep. He's still young. I think I saw some snow up in Pullman this week too. So
shocking.
We could get a snow game. All right. So yeah, I'm gonna go ECU over and Marshall, and then Rutgers, and the Ducks are circled for now. Remember, please check out the column on ESPN.com right around noon Eastern. I think Bierman posts it every Thursday. If not, it's out on Twitter. I know you guys are searching for it, and I appreciate you guys getting there and checking that out. The Big Mike Happy Recap is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at over $100,000. Download the DraftKings app and enter code Steve at signup. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Masters, you said Rahm, Scheffler, Finau, Matsuyama, Poulter, Kuchar. Correct?
That was my DraftKings fantasy team. Yes. I would play the three guys that I would play to win are the three obvious ones: Bryson, Rahm, and then Finau. I mean, if Bryson is going to be hitting driver 53-degree wedge on 13, like that's a massive advantage. And I think the little bit of a misconception about Bryson too is like he can't putt at Augusta. Well, two of his three trips to Augusta, he's been in the top 10 in putting for the tournament, but in those same rounds, he's been 30th or worse in greens in regulation. So like, what that tells me is if this new strategy of just grip it, rip it, give yourself the shortest distance slash best angle to a green, regardless of whether it's in a neighboring hole or not. Greens in regulation go up, easier putts. You continue to make putts at that rate. You're making birdies instead of pars. Like, that's bad news. So, DeChambeau is one of those guys. Like, he could go out and shoot 65 on Thursday, and that's that. And you're never going to get 8-1 on him. Again, he's going to be like 5-2, if that. I think you have to bet Bryson at 8-1 or whatever he is before the tournament. Rahm is a guy who I've had the last couple of years in Augusta as well. He's put himself in position. Last year, he just had a stretch where he just couldn't make any birdies. He had him on like 20-something straight holes without a bogey. But he only had like 3 birdies in that stretch. So he just couldn't capitalize on a stretch the year before. He opened with a 75. And then his Friday, Saturday, Sunday score was like 3 shots better, I think, than the rest of the field on those 3 days. So he's given himself a chance. He's finishing the top 10, each of the last 2 years, maybe with a little bit of a lack of pressure on him this year, being that so many people are talking about Bryson.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a shot. Tony Finau is the other guy I'm playing to win. I mean, people like to poke fun because, Tony Finau, every tournament, this is going to be – but no one's got more top 10s in majors over the last 3 years than Finau does. So you adjust your stake accordingly. You bet him in the top 10 heavily. You put a little something on the win in case he finally does close one out. But the guy was in the final group last year here. Like, he's put himself in position a couple times in the final group of the U.S. Open 1 year too. So he's been there. In terms of strokes gained, like his strokes gained off the tee and his strokes gained on approach, if you read Joe Peters' publication about strokes gained at Augusta, like, he's right there. The putting let him down last year. So I think Finau right around 30-1 is worthwhile. I'd play him again, top 10, top 20 as well. All these things are up on the website right now as well.
Weather's going to be an issue.
Yes, but I don't think as much as we initially thought.
Okay.
I think Friday is going to be okay. Sunday right now, maybe they're calling for a little more rain, but I know it just rained early in the week a lot. But I think it's not as gloom and doom as we initially had thought.
What do you have for odds on Phil Mickelson right now?
What do I see? I think he was triple digits, wasn't he?
I'm looking at Circa right now, and I think it says 225-1.
That's probably accurate.
Seriously?
That's probably accurate. Wow. Look at his last few tournaments. I mean, he hasn't put himself in contention in this tournament in a while.
It's Gary Woodland's 230-1.
Gary Woodland has some back issues, I think.
Okay. Okay. Through. All right.
He withdrew last week, so that's another problem. Hey, you and I have both wasted $10 on crazier things than Phil Mickelson.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm here at the Circa. I'm looking at these numbers. Yeah. Some of their numbers are Justin Rose 72-1.
Yeah, he's another guy who's played really well at Augusta. He's someone who's really struggling to find his form. Rory McIlroy was quoted earlier in the week, I think, of saying like he's getting close, like he's playing better. Like he had the equipment deal where he changed clubs and back to TaylorMade where he played so well with and. Guy's been searching, and I read he's been in the process of relocating his family from Florida back to England. So he's just had a lot of off the course stuff as well. But again, Justin Rose, a guy who has as many top tens and close calls as Augusta as anybody, at 70-something to 1. Again, you certainly could invest $10 or whatever in a lot worse things than that.
I also sort of like DJ here because no one's really talking about him.
Yeah.
You're getting 10-1. I like Cantlay too.
Yeah. Cantlay and DJ are two guys that I would certainly play for the top 10.
What do you,
exactly. Cantlay won last week.
Yeah.
Or the last time he played, I should say. He had kind of a subpar year other than that, but it got led in the second nine last year at Augusta. I actually had him last year at 50-something to 1, and he just ran out of holes. But I think he's a guy who I more peg him for the top 10 than the win. But you're right, DJ, I think in his last six tournaments, I think he hasn't been worse than six. He's got, what, three runners up, I think, in the last few majors. So he's been right there. It would be no shock to see him win. And again, I think you could find him around even money or plus 110 to finish in the top 10. And I think that's certainly with a lot of these columns I do on chalk, and the way I try to approach a lot of this, the golf betting is, I'd rather like give out a lot more top 10s, top 20s.
Gotcha. Just guys to win the tournament.
Yeah. Because I mean, it's fun every now and then to look for a needle in a haystack and find a winner. But if you play five guys to win, yeah, the odds are different, but only one of them can win. You give out five or six guys to finish in the top 10 or top 20, you could win every one of those bets. Now, sure, the odds aren't as great, but it certainly seems like a safer, prudent way of betting on golf. And then one matchup that I like this week, or one player, I should say, in terms of fading, there were a bunch of matchups out there with Tyrrell Hatton. I think Tony Finau might have been one of them. Bubba Watson, Patrick Cantlay, Hideki Matsuyama. I think we're all matched up with Tyrrell Hatton. And I think Hatton's a guy who has never played well at Augusta. He's never broken 70 in a round. Missed a cut, and I think he's finished 56th and 44th. And those head-to-heads are four guys who all bring good current form in here, all bring good course history at Augusta in here. So all four of those guys, I think are slight favorites in the matchups, but I think Hatton's someone who hasn't really shown an affinity for Augusta. He's not the longest hitter in the world, and if the course is damp and soggy, he could be hitting those irons from a lot further back and be putting him at a disadvantage.
One other guy, what do you expect from Koepka?
Great wild card. He played well last week.
Yeah.
Just a question. The course is a very demanding course to walk, and you just got to wonder about is his knee and whatever. Is it okay? Well, will the 4 days take a toll on him? I mean, he's another guy who last year just make a putt and he wins.
I'm really interested to see what he does.
Yeah, it would surprise nobody if he played well this week and won down there. He's another guy who you're going to want to back guys that can carry the ball with their tee shot. Koepka, Finau, Bryson, Rahm, Rory hits the ball. Am I on the air? I guess you're not going to get a big rollout. So it's going to hurt somebody. It's going to hurt a guy like Webb Simpson, who's a great second shot player, but he's not super long off the tee. It's going to hurt a guy like Tyrrell Hatton, who's not super long off the tee. It's going to hurt a guy like Kevin Kisner, who putts as well as anybody on tour, but he's not long off the tee at all either. So I think you're going to see a lot of angling towards some of the longer hitters, especially early in the week when these fairways are not when the fairways, I should say, are pretty damp.
Yeah, you know what I've fallen in love with is the updated odds to win the tournament, like on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. I love being able to grab guys then. I know you're not getting the price that you would be at the beginning of the tournament, but you know you're in the hunt. I can't believe we did a whole segment and we didn't mention the defending champion, but I was actually going to look and see what he was to make the cut, because that would be an interesting prop.
Yeah, I think he'll make the cut.
Okay.
It was funny on Daily Wager. We were talking about that and how I was approaching Tiger, and I said, like, I know it probably sounds terrible, but I'm just kind of ignoring him. Like, he's not going to win. I don't think he's going to finish in the top 10. I'm not sure he's going to finish in the top 20. He knows his course well enough where he can just kind of get around it and likely make the cut. I don't know who he's matched up in head-to-heads with, so that might be some guys to look at opposing him in head to heads. But like, I'm just kind of like, okay, he's playing. It's great. He won. But his form is, I mean, he beat three guys last week. Yeah, I think he's finished better than 40th once since the restart or since February. And Ouchie back in damp weather. I don't know. I mean, I would expect him to make the cut just because of how, and the cut's different this year, by the way. They finally
top 50, right?
Yeah, 50 and tied, which is good because it had been too many people who made it. It was basically your former champions and your amateurs who weren't making the cuts. Basically, everybody was making it. So it's good that they kind of narrowed it down a little bit this year.
Yes or no, hole in one. -225 is yes.
Yes. Yeah. Someone will knock one in on 16 on Sunday.
All right. I think that'll do it. Anything else before we leave? We got Charles helping us out today. Thumbs up or down? All right. I like seeing that. Very good. Two thumbs up. Bear, safe travels. Take us away.
Thank you, sir. And the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.